يا الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, we are on the third stage of driving change. The first, as I said, is to own the need for change, that there is a need and that we have to make the change in our own lives. That's the first stage. The second one is to face, stop the blame game, face the brutal facts. The third stage is to fix it. So now we are looking at how do you fix, what are the things to do as far as bringing about the change are concerned. For this, I actually like to use the project management model, which is plan, track, control, report. Even if we leave the report part of it aside, because there is no reporting except to yourself in this case, plan, track and control, three stages of managing anything, whether it's change or projects. So the first and foremost thing to do is to plan how are you going to bring about this change in your life and actions. And as I gave the other day also, we are following the same examples. The example of, say, praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid, what is the plan to do it? We saw in the, as far as facing the facts are concerned, and the strategy is concerned, we saw what we need to do. Now we say, what is the plan to pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid? Now that plan obviously relates to what you need to do before that time. Meaning, what do you need to do the previous night? For example, sleeping early, for example, eating at the right time, and so on. If you eat biryani at 12 o'clock in the night and come back home from some party at 2 o'clock, you don't have a hope in hell of waking up in the morning. So the whole idea is not to do those things, and so that you don't make your life more difficult. So plan to achieve that aim, which is to wake up in time and go and pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid. So now, what is the plan for that? Previous night, sleeping early, as I said, what kind of food you eat, waking up at the right time. I tell people the best way to visualize that and do it for yourself, one day it will cure you for life. Imagine that you are supposed to go somewhere, an international non-refundable ticket, and the flight takes off at this time. What will you do? And I say to people, put aside that money, right? 25,000 rupees, 50,000 rupees, put it aside, and the day you do not pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid, wake up in the morning and give away 50,000 rupees in charity. Maybe that will cure you for life. Because that's what will happen to your ticket. If it's a non-refundable ticket and you don't show up, that's gone. Goodbye. You want to fly again, you have to buy a new ticket. If you were to catch that flight, believe me, you would set multiple alarms, you would tell your whole family, you would tell your neighbors, you would tell, you know, God knows who, to say, please wake me up. So you will have the whole town trying to wake you up in the morning. But when it's a question of Salatul Fajr, then you have all kinds of excuses. This happened, that happened. The reality of life is that excuses do not change reality. You can have any number of excuses. The problem is our upbringing is bad. From day one, we are taught that as long as you have a plausible excuse and somebody in authority is prepared to say it's okay, then actually it's okay. I'll give you a small example. Child gets late to class, and small kid, he says, I'm sorry teacher, there was a traffic jam, so my dad or my mom could not drop me to school in time. Teacher says it's okay. Now the child missed half an hour of class, for example. Because the teacher said okay, that half an hour doesn't come back. No? But the child feels fine. Teacher said, okay, it's okay. How can it be okay? And the example I give is, supposing you come today and you tell me that last night you were in this big mela, this big fair, big crowd and this and that, and in that crowd you lost your wallet, and in that wallet was your passport, you had your ID, you had your credit card, you had money, you had everything, and this wallet is gone. And you tell me, Arvai, you know, it was such a big crowd and so on, and I was trying to take all care, and but somehow something happened and my pocket got picked and so on. And I say, no, it's okay, don't worry, it's all right. Will your wallet come back in your pocket? So what is the value of this okay? Loss is loss, gain is gain. What is gone will not come back. The sooner we learn this, the happier we will be. And as I said, it's a result of bad upbringing. All of us have the same upbringing. We all are brought up with this nonsensical image that just because somebody says it's okay, it's okay. It's not okay. What you lost is gone, period. It will not come back, especially with regard to time. Your wallet you can replace, your credit card you can cancel, get new ones, your passport you can reapply, get a new one. But the time that is gone, it is never going to come back. That Salatul Fajr which you missed in the masjid, if it happened without your control, then you can pray qada. If you missed it deliberately, then even if you pray qada till the end of your life, every single day, you still will not make up for that one salah, because there is no qada for a deliberately missed salah. If you miss the salah deliberately, then you have entered kufr. If you die in that state, you die as a kafir, not as a Muslim. It's not a simple thing. It's a very, very serious matter. And this does not apply only to Salatul Fajr. It applies to all the salawat. So middle of the day, I'm in this meeting, that meeting, I'm doing this deal, that deal. Time for Asr comes. Yeah, I will pray. And then the time goes off. So, plan. If you don't want this to happen, what is the plan? Second step, track. Once you put the plan into practice, then track. Is this plan working? Is this a good enough plan? Is it working? Right? There's no point in saying, well, I planned it, it didn't happen. So what, you know, it's not a question of fault. If it did not happen, it did not happen. It means that you did not get it. I planned to cook dinner, I planned to eat dinner. But somehow it didn't happen. So now what? I have food in my stomach or I'm empty? I mean, why is this so difficult to understand? Plan and then track. Is that plan working? And then third stage is control. Meaning, then do whatever it needs to do, whatever needs to be done to put that plan into practice. So many times we plan something in anticipation that something will happen and then maybe it doesn't work out. It's not a crime, but follow it up. Check with it. Plan and track that thing and say, is this plan working? Is it? What do I need to change? I asked somebody to wake me up. I set one alarm. That alarm didn't go off, which means one alarm is not good enough. I must have a fallback. I asked someone to wake me up. That guy sleeps better than me. So what do I do now? So he thought he woke me up. He saw a dream in which he was waking me up. Yeah? So the point is that whatever is the plan, is this plan working? Track it and then control it, meaning take steps to make sure that the plan actually works. Whatever corrections need to be done, those corrections must be done. Right? So plan, track, control. In project management, we talk about report, which is you report it out. You can report it to yourself and say, this is how it is working. Now, if you do this, then inshallah, the fix will, whatever is the behavior change that you are looking at, that fix will happen. Right? Think about the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. They all came from an environment which had no Islam in it. So that environment had all kinds of problems with it. How did they change? And it was a complete 180 degree change. Total. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu says that if I had continued without Islam, I would have died of one of two things. Either I would have died of alcoholism or I would have died in a fight, in a drunken fright. There are only two ways I would have died. Either cirrhosis of the liver or whatever. I mean, he did not say cirrhosis of the liver. I'm just saying he would have said either I would have died of drinking too much, alcohol-related disease, or I would have died in a fight, which also was related with that. Who is saying this? Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So how did he cure his alcoholism? We know it's an addiction. We also know that from the minute he became a Muslim, from the minute alcohol was prohibited, he never drank again. We know that all the Sahaba, when the ayat came for the prohibition of alcohol, no one ever drank a single drop again. How? Which brings us back to the reality, which is to say that how real is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. This is the thing that keeps on. Yesterday, as I was saying, the difference between people who are not Muslim and people who are Muslim, looks to me like there is a complete similarity between the two. There is no difference. Because the people who are not Muslim, they imagine that something is God. And the people who are Muslim, they imagine that there is no God. Something which is not God, they imagine this is God. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, but we live a life as if He does not exist. So what is what's the difference? They are also living in an imaginary world. We are also living in an imaginary world. You ask somebody, what are you doing? Oh, I am working very hard. Very hard. For what? To become successful. Fantastic. The Mawzan is calling there, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah. Come to salah, come to success. No, I don't have time, I'm busy. So, busy mean what? So, success is going to come from somewhere else. So, but you just said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You said, la nafi wa la dharra illa Allah. No benefit, no harm except from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, which one is that? I mean, I always tell myself when I remind people, I said, stand in front of the mirror and ask yourself a simple question. Are you going to die? Number one. Number two, are you going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sort this out and the rest of your life becomes very easy. Sort it out for yourself. Seriously, ask yourself this question. Do I really believe that there is Allah? We all have this thing in our head, you know, intellectual belief. Inside there is no feeling. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, then why are you worried? Why do you run around here and there at the expense of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why? For what? You want success, the first and foremost thing to do is grab hold of the one who will give you success. And then go and do work. Not the other way around. You want to go and do work and then you want to leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's faraid. How is success going to come? I'll give it to you in writing. Till the day you die, you will be struggling like a wild animal in the forest and you will not be successful. Take it from me in writing. Keep on missing your salawat. You will die without success. It's crazy. I mean, how to convince? Salah is not a favor on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please. This is your, you have to pray because you need it. Not because Allah needs it. Allah does not need it. So you decide. If you think that you can get success without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please go ahead, try, no problem. But if you do not think that, and if you are not a liar, I'm being very clear, I don't think it's possible to be clearer than that without using actually four letter words. Liar is actually a four letter word. If you are not a liar, ask yourself this question. Can I succeed without Allah? If the answer is yes, then go do it. If the answer is no, then how do you justify living the life you are living? It's absolute nonsense. That means you are a liar. You are fooling yourself. You are lying to yourself. You want to live like that? You want to die like that? It's your life. Go ahead, do it. But if you don't want to do that, the time to wake up is right now. Right now as we sit here. Somebody sent me a picture of Masjid al-Haram. Janaiz, I think about 25, 26 janaza. and several of them with their head uncovered because they died in the state of ihram. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us husnul khatima, inshallah. All of this is not accidental, believe me, it doesn't happen just like that. This is minallahi ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's in'am on people. But for that you have to do something, no? You can't say, I will die in Masjid al-Haram when you never go to pray. How will you try Masjid al-Haram? Seriously, we have to ask ourselves this question and say, does Allah exist? Do I really believe that down here? And if I believe that, then what in my life proves it? It's not a question of saying it. What in my life proves it? The number one thing in your life and my life which should prove it is our dedication and our commitment to Salah. There is nothing else, believe me. Don't fool yourself by saying, oh, but you see, I'm a good guy, but this, I don't care what the hell you are. If you are not praying, period. Khalas. I didn't make the rule. You don't like it, go tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about it. Salah is the number one thing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the first question that will be asked is Salah. If that is passed, the rest of it will be easy. If that is stuck, then he is stuck. He did not say this applies only to bad people. For the good people, it's okay if they don't pray. Did he say that? Who is better than Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself? How many salawat do you know that he missed? How many times did he say, oh, so I'm sorry, I was sleeping. Oh, I'm sorry, I was busy. Doing the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should I pray? After all, am I doing anything else? I am the Nabi. All my work is the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should I have to go and pray? Did he say this? So seriously, let us get real and stop wasting our time, because that time is not going to come back. So plan, track, control and report to yourself, and that is the fix of the problem. So take each behavioral change that you want to inculcate and do that. Reading, I want to start habit of reading, plan it. When will you read? Fix a time. That time you will read, no matter what happens. Go sit with a book. Then track it. How many pages a day am I reading? What do I need to do? Whatever it is, this plan, track, control, report model applies to absolutely anything. Whatever it is. Weight loss, weight gain, exercise, this, that, whatnot. Plan, track, control and report. If you do that, structure is the key to productivity. Unstructured people also produce, but you can't beat the productivity of a structured person. Even so-called creative work is creative only if you structure it. That was the whole genius of Apple and Steve Jobs. Putting unstructured, so-called unstructured stuff into a structure. He created a company worth billions of dollars. Right? So let us try to do this and say, how can I bring about this change in terms of fixing the issues that I have? Write down the issue, plan, track, control, report. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us and to get us to become serious with our lives before the time comes when we meet him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.